Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
This morning, I was telling someone that if you go to any church, maybe you might not be happy with a number of things, but as for this church, you might not be happy with the ushers. Maybe as you were entering, an usher offended you, you were not happy about the dancers, but ask for the word, and God has anointed the woman of God who keeps feeding us Sunday by Sunday, Saturday, on Saturday meetings, and today, we are blessed to have our pastor, our teacher, Sister Joy Felipe Bruce in the house.
Notice that some of us, when the singing is going sound, we better do something because it's not working. We are standing and we are just there waiting to be told to sit down. And you know, it's because you don't know how sinful you are. Yeah. If you knew how sinful you are, if you really know how sinful you are, and if you know that the only way to remove sin is blood, if you know, hold on. What was the example our father gave us? He said, sin is like coconut water. When it enters the dirt, you cannot remove it. Then somebody has poured the blood to remove not his sin, but yours. Hey. You will not be standing there like a wawa board or like a coconut tree or like bread that has fallen into water. You will find your voice and you will add to the song. Oh yes, come on, lift it. Come on, lift it. Hey. Come on, sing it for the last time and meet everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Just bow down your head for a moment and thank the Lord for Easter. thank him for the shedding of blood. Thank him that because he shed his blood, that's why even though we are worthy of death, we don't have to shed ours. And we take the day to say thank you. Thank him so much for going all the way. He had a mission and he came to earth and he accomplished it fully. And you want to say thank you. Oh, we are grateful. Lord, we don't take it for granted. We recognize that we fall short in so many ways. But we are so grateful that you came and you paid for us. And that's why we are even here this Easter morning. To you indeed be all the glory. To you be indeed be all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Hallelujah. Wow. It's been a while since we're all together on a Sunday morning gospel encounter service, faith secret service, presence service, and word encounter service. Hallelujah. And we thank God that he has given us an occasion to be together. But it's also good that we are in different places. It's also good. Are you there? This morning, I want you to turn your Bible with me to Luke chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 1 to verse 6, and then we shall see what next we do. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Christ is Risen, We Are Forgiven. As I'm watching the antics of some people this morning, I think it's a very apt title to remind me that we are talking about forgiveness. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others of them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them. And they told these things unto the apostles. Hallelujah. Please try and find somewhere to sit. It's very important that whatever you came to church for, that the word of God should also enter small. Amen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? One of the things that is very common in this life is that when something dies, we separate it from those that are alive. Are you in the house? The Bible describes us before you receive Jesus, before you accept him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible describes you as dead. Are you there? It describes you as dead. And that's why you should understand Easter and understand that the fact that you are spiritually alive is as a result of Easter. Hallelujah. It's as a result of the fact that somebody has paid what you should have paid. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, we are in a good place. Because somebody has paid for us. Beautiful. And so I'm saying that the people went looking for Jesus and they were told, why are you seeking the living among the dead? This sentence has always moved me because there must be a place that you used to be, that you are not there today. That when they go looking for you, because you are alive in Christ, you are no longer there. There are some of you who call yourself crossover Christians. So you are over there and you are over here. And then when you come to church, you come and criticize us that we are dancing on the stage. I want to, listen, we dance on the stage because we don't go anywhere else. We do it here. Yeah. Everything that we are doing it here. And why have you brought rappers to the church? Where should we go and rap? Where should we go? You have been going by night, hiding behind. Yeah. Are you there? Some of you, you look like a proper person when you come to church on Sunday. But when we meet you on campus, when you are not expecting to meet us, We know how you look. Your double life. And this morning, if you are here with a double life, I'm telling you that you are like a living person who lives in the cemetery. The cemetery is for dead people. Yeah. It's for dead people. Once Jesus was alive, he had nothing to do there again. And he left the place. But you have received Christ. When you finish receiving Christ, then you go back to the cemetery. And I'm speaking to all of you who go onto places on campus and other places. They are jamming like an unbeliever. You didn't know that some of your streak shots, I've seen them. You are streaking and you say that, oh, it's gone. It has. I prayed a certain prayer. Are you here? I told God that what I need to know, let me know it. What I need to know about my children, let me know. The thieves among you. You are born again, but you are a thief. You are a living person among the dead. Yeah. You are born again, but you are a liar. You are a living person among the dead. You are living because you have given your life to Christ. But that behavior is the behavior of the dead. What's the behavior of the dead? Don't take me off my point. Today I came to preach about forgiveness. If I look at you, you will derail my preaching this morning. Hey, are you in the house? Ask your neighbor, what were you doing there? What were you doing there? What were you doing there? Hey, one day, I was driving on a certain road, and the road was very dark. And there was somebody on the roadside, and the person began to flag down my car. So when I saw it, of course, I wouldn't stop in the night on a dark road. But I was wondering, because sometimes a young lady on a roadside, the person is actually in need of help. So I had begun to slow down. I took note of the attire of the person. The Bible calls something the attire of a harlot. The clothing of a harlot. It's in the Bible. So I noticed the attire of a harlot. And as I pressed my accelerator to continue, my light flashed and I saw the face. The person was my church member. A living person among the dead. You see, when we tell the story, you see, when we say it, you will think that we are telling lies. But let me tell you something. Not only was she my church member, she was one of my church members that I had won from a place that used to have HIV people. That's what they were doing there. Are you there? And I said to myself that, oh, somebody's walking around. I just continued on my way. I just continued. You see, you are here shouting, oh, oh. But as you are here, 2 days ago. Yeah, I'm talking to my churches, I know. But there are shisha smokers here, I know that. There are weed smokers here. As for fornication, I don't want to talk about it. As for pornography watchers, I don't want to mention. Yeah. You see, and I'm saying all these things because I need you to understand. There are wife beaters in the church. Yeah. There are adulterers in the church. Listen, when I mention your own, look straight and smile. Nobody will know that it's you. If you frown, they'll think maybe, perchance, maybe it's you. So just look straight. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying it not because I am condoning your behavior, but I'm saying that the only reason why you are not dead, because in the Old Testament, God will just Just like, it's over. It's over. It's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. It's because he poured his blood and he paid for it. It doesn't mean you should continue, but I'm making the point for you to understand it, because some gratitude must be in our hearts towards him. Are you in the church? Then the men went on to say, he is not here. He is risen. And that's why this morning I'm sharing a word with you entitled, Christ is risen. We are forgiven. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. We are forgiven. Sometimes when we go through Easter, we take the story for granted. And one of the things we take for granted is the fact that, oh, Jesus, oh, he died. After 3 days, he rose again. I mean, what is lost? It's all okay. But when you turn your mind to the things that he had gone through, you will recognize something. You will recognize that his story is a story of forgiveness. And this morning, I'm sharing with you seven categories of people, or seven people he forgave. The first person that he forgave was God the Father himself. You are saying, hey, as if you are not the one who was weeping when you failed your exam and said, hey, God, made me fail. You are doing like in Mark chapter 15 and verse 34, we read when Jesus got to the ninth hour, the Bible says, he cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of all the things he had gone through on this earth, he was able to stand them. And he went through a lot of things. But when he got to that point where it was like everything had turned against him and he was hanging there alone, at that point he realized that because he had taken our sin on, God had to turn away from him. And at that point, he just screamed and shouted, why have you forsaken me? Me and you, we all together with the Holy Ghost, we agreed that I will come on earth and I'm going to pay the price. And now at my last minute, in my difficulty, it seems to me that you have turned the other way. Sometimes we find ourselves in things like that. That's why you say, I won't pay tithe again. I've been paying and people have come to steal my money. Lord, are you not the one who said that you rebuke the destroyer and the devourer? Where is my money? And there are some people who, after going through something difficult, they turn their back and say, I won't believe God again. You may not, cannot be more foolish. When Jesus returned, he never ever mentioned this problem that he had. He never came back to accuse God. He never came back to say that, eh? You, we were walking together, we walked, we went through everything together. When Pilate was talking, when they were slapping, we all there. Now that I'm hanging up there, that you should come and now make the thing easy, you have disappeared. Is that how we do it? Jesus returned, he never mentioned it. He never mentioned it. Somebody, maybe it's time you stop mentioning something. The next person I want to bring up who Jesus forgave was Peter. Peter was among his nearest and dearest. I need to tell you that in every group, there are favorite people. Jesus had 170, 140 disciples, 120 disciples, 12 disciples, but he also had 3 disciples. There were some places that when he was going, he didn't take anybody. Peter, James, John, that's all. That's all. He didn't carry anybody again. Why? For some reason, that's how he wanted it. Are you in the church? You are very quiet. Everybody has somebody that they work a little easier with. Yeah, there are people in my office. There are some people, if you come, we'll end the conversation and we'll ask you that, what are you looking for? We'll finish the meeting and you go. It's true. It's not a dislike. It's just that's how life is. But you too, you have people like that. You have people when they visit you from the house, you put the food down now till those people come. There are also people that when they put their food down and they see the people, you take the food and you hide it. Because you are not ready to share with that person. So don't start bringing your righteousness on me this morning. But Peter was one of Jesus' persons. One of those that he carried to places. And he took them when he was going to even have a very wild spiritual encounter on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was one of the few people he took. He had even appointed him and told him that, look, when I leave there, you are the stone upon whom I'm going to build my... Okay, John chapter 18. By the time we're in John chapter 18, the matter has become tenuous. It has become difficult. Jesus has been captured and he's being beaten. And the Bible says in verse 17, then said the damsel that kept the door, are you not one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. Then the story continued. They had moved and now it was cold and he was standing warming himself. You know, they are beating Jesus. You are busy warming yourself. And verse 25 says, Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said to him, are not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. The third time. Are you in the house? One of the servants of the high priest. He was the relative of the person that Peter had cut off his ear. So he knew him. Did I not see you in the garden with him? At this point, Peter began to swear. And he said, it is not me. As soon as he finished, he heard. Jesus had told him, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. Your buddy, your closest person. You have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. For 3.5 years, you have eaten together. You have slept in the same places. He had seen every miracle that Jesus was doing. He had seen the raising of Jairus' daughter. He had seen the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. He had seen the healing of the madman of Gadara. He was there at the Sermon of the Mount. Are you in the house? His mother-in-law was sick, lying down. He was there when she was raised up. He had seen everything that was happening. And yet when he got to a certain place and things were knocking things, Peter looked and said, I don't know the man. In one of the Gospels, the Bible says that when he said it, and Jesus turned and looked at him, and he went out, and he began to weep. He realized what he had done. But when Jesus returned, tell your neighbor, when Jesus returned, he sent a message. Tell them where I'll meet them, and add Peter as well. And when Peter came, he never asked him a question. What did you mean by that thing that you were saying that you didn't know me? Is that how you are? All the things we have been through together, is that how you are? But Jesus never said it. Rather, in the book of John chapter 21, that's the last chapter of the book of John, you find him in verse 15 to 17, rather, what should I say? You see, he had commissioned the guy. He was now even underlining the commission. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. That's all he had to say to him. He had forgiven him his cowardice and his humanness. And you are still prosecuting the issue. I remember a certain guy who said that he liked a certain girl. And the girl's shepherd, the shepherd told the guy that, listen, this my daughter has been around in this world. So if you know that this is how you are, no, don't go near. I was there, the guy took it, I've seen this girl, she's great. I said, listen. I know this, my daughter. She has been around. Are you in the house? So, if you know that you cannot, don't go near. I said, because this person, she really wants to serve God. The past is the past. Are you there? You are very quiet all of a sudden. So we were there. And things were progressing. Things were progressing. One day, I got a text from my opener. He said, you know, actually, there is no peace in my spirit. And so I said, wait, I said, brother, listen. Just speak the truth, then. Just speak the truth. You see, we were chatting. She told me about this way at the beginning, and I decided that I can't go. I said, foolish boy. Foolish boy. Because I know how you are. You are the kind that when God has forgiven somebody something, you want to keep holding it. That's why I told you that don't go. You say, I'll go. I'm okay. Now look at what you are telling me. God has forgiven somebody. You are holding it. You're not afraid of God. You're not afraid. There are some of you, you are here, accusations that you bring on people. You're just watching. The reason why you can accuse is that you are not aware of your own nastiness. That's why you are accusing. And some of you are part of those who are on the online saying things. Yeah. God has chosen his servant. You have something to say. Me that I'm only a human being. You can't come from outside and talk about somebody else. I remember one night, as I was arriving home, there was a young man at my gate. And as he was knocking on the gate. A young man I didn't know. And I said, who are you and what are you looking for? He said he was looking for a young lady in my house. The car had not finished stopping. When the brothers who were in the car with me, one opened the door and descended here, and the other opened the door and descended here. And they went to call the guy. You said you are looking for who in this house? This is the house of a human being. It's a human being's house. And you are coming to look for... And you are the one who has gone to stand. God has his child in his house that he is dealing with. And you have gone to... I said, it was not easy for the young man. Oh. One of the people came out of the car was tense. So. The other person was Pastor David. You can be sure that it was who? Who was the other person? Who? It was you. Who? No. What's the reason? It was Pastor David. Hey! And God has forgiven his person. And you are now standing at the door that I've come to accuse that, there's a thief living in this house. There's something living in this house. I've come to record with it. Hey! You see, you may have thought that Peter was whatever you think of. But you dare not say a word. You dare not say a word. Because some of you and I are saying that there are people who do this in church and there are people who do that. You are like, they call themselves Christians and it's a church. Take heed unto yourself. Take heed unto yourself. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Jesus forgave Peter. Who else did he forgive? He forgave all his disciples. All of them. It was only John who was still at the cross. All the others, they fled like chickens. When Jesus was hot, they disappeared. They ran away. You are very quiet. And sometimes in this life, those you love most turn away from you. And you are there. You are still holding it against your family that they have done this and they have done that and they have done that. I want to advise you this Easter to just take a leaf out of the book of Jesus. Because he forgave them. When he came back, he never referred to it. The problem with you is that you keep on rehearsing the issue. So it never dies. Any issue that you are rehearsing is like a wound. The thing is healing, and then you go and peel it again, and it starts to bleed again, and it starts to hurt. That's why you are not able to forgive. The next group of people that Jesus forgave were the common people. Matthew chapter 27, verse 39 and verse 40. It says, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. These were the people that Jesus had ministered to. These were the people of whom Jesus had even wept. He saw them and he said, oh, look at how they are scattered as sheep without a shepherd. He had wept over them. And yet when they saw him in his trouble, it was the same common people. They were the ones Pilate had asked, should we crucify, who do you want, Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas. And you see, Pilate was an unrighteous man. But even an unrighteous man, he was so sure that if he puts Barabbas there, there's no way they will choose Barabbas. To his shock. Said to his shock. What had Jesus ever done to them? Barabbas had stolen from them. Barabbas had murdered their sons and daughters. Barabbas had done things. That's why he was in there. Jesus had only healed them. He had only brought them good words. He had only brought them good things. And he was the one that they turned against. And every time when I think about these people, I think about people who are in the church with us, who ate the same food that we have eaten at our father's table. We grew up together in the things of the Spirit. We became pastors. We never knew we could preach. We never even knew that God had anything to do with us. He was the one who told us, that many are called. You go, it will work. And then it's because of a small offense. You have now woken up. You said that the person who laid hands on you, who the one who blessed your marriage, today, you say he's Satan. Today, when you were with us, you couldn't listen to the message. But today, you are listening to every message. Will he stumble somewhere? Will he fall somewhere? Is there something I can pick to say? You have woken up and banned books online. The same books that we have read. The same books that have helped us to that we preach from. The same things that have taught us. You say, ha, this is Satan. But you see, Jesus had the same experience. And there are times in life when that's how it is. Yeah, that's how it is. I'm talking to some people. Don't you be part of them. Yeah. Don't you be part of them. Hey, the church is very quiet. Here. You are surprised. You have something to say about everything. Because you don't know much. Just agree that you don't know much. Remember the example I gave you? When they are going to do a brain operation, it goes on for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. I'm not a brain surgeon. I don't know anything about it. Then I'm standing outside the surgery door. Hey, doctor! You have stayed too long. Should the operation not have finished by now? Why are you killing? As I'm shouting. But I have to admit, I don't know anything about it. So also, you don't know what it is to start a church in a classroom with 5 people in a town. Like Accra, not a good place in the town, call it go. And grow it. No, you see, you are sitting here, we are building, you don't know that our first church was beside an exploding toilet. You have no idea. You have no idea. With the first church members, poverty-stricken students who had nothing. Yeah, that was the church. That's what you belong to, and that's where we have grown from. You've forgotten that the first time you sat in the plane, it was from a ticket that had been given to you by the same man. No wonder since then you have been on ground. Allow us to preach it. Allow us to preach it. Because you see, the quietness is also deafening. When nobody, you can't wake up and just defend. Yeah. Some of us is blocking that we have been blocked. Church is very quiet. Yeah. In the same way as they didn't defend Christ, it's exactly the same thing. Same thing. Ooh. Some of you are even in your lecture room and people start to say that you are quiet. They are on a page and people are on it and you are quiet. You are in the office and people are on it. That's you. You don't want to be called a bad person. You don't want to be called something. That's why you're quiet. That's why you don't defend it. You are there. Let me go back to my. You know, we are very ungrateful. Very ungrateful. Very ungrateful. I'm continuing. Jesus forgot all the, he forgave all those who mocked at him. All those who laughed at him, he forgave them. He never came back. Look, did he ever have a sermon, what it is like, entitled, what it was like? Did he write about it? What it was like to be mocked? Those who slapped. Are you there? Many mockers. And some of you, the person who mocked you in secondary school, you have still not let it go. Let it go. It's okay. Turn to never say it's all right. Let it go now. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Am I talking to some people in the house? Jesus forgave another group. He forgave were the wicked soldiers. Yeah. You see, they had a job to execute, but they added things to it. They added slabs, they added spit. They said, I'm thirsty. They gave him vinegar to drink. Yeah, somebody is thirsty. You are giving him application. It's the same thing, same kind of thing. Are you there? Yeah. And I'm saying to you that Jesus forgave them. This morning I'm preaching about forgiveness. Easter is a time of forgiveness. When you remember what Jesus went through, yet he forgave and he moved on. Jesus forgave the Pharisees. He forgave them. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that they were the ones who went and delivered him. They brought him. They brought the case. And he forgave them. If there's one case, you say you won't leave it alone. And finally, I want you to know that Jesus forgives you and he forgives me. I want to end with the same scripture I was reading to you on Good Friday, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. I think we had it in the NLT. It was a little easier to understand. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while, tell your neighbor, a little while. You know, the suffering that you're going through is just for a little while. It doesn't last forever. I like to ask people, what storm has not ended? It can be wilder, but it will end. It will end. And it says that for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Hallelujah. This Easter morning, if you don't remember anything at all of all the things that I've said to you, I want you to remember that Jesus suffered death. He tasted death for everyone. And my last word is to those of us who have done something, those of us who have made a mistake along the way. And as you've made a mistake, you have refused to let it go. Everyone has forgiven you. Your father has forgiven you. Your mother has forgiven you. God has forgiven you, but you are not able to forgive yourself. This morning, I'm saying to you that Jesus has done it already. He has tasted death for everyone, for you and for me. Stand to your feet this morning. This morning, for a few minutes, I want you to bend down your head and for a few minutes, cast your mind back to all those who you are holding malice and unforgiveness. Think about them. Only you know who they are. And this morning, in the quietness of this place, I want you to just say, Lord, I let them go. I release them. Is it my mother who said something and it hurt me so much? Today, let it go. Is it my father who did something and it hurt me so much? Today, let it go. There are many things you don't understand. Is it my sibling or my roommate or a lecturer or a boss? This morning, let it go. Is it a shepherd in the church? Is it somebody who you trusted who let you down? Is it somebody who you thought will marry you and the person just dropped you? Today, because of Jesus, with your eyes on Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because of him, let it go. The same way he never spoke about all those who made it such a difficult thing for him, you too today decide that it ends today. I will not talk about it again. I will not rehearse it again. I will not accuse the person again because of Jesus. And recognizing that I stand in need of forgiveness. I stand in need of the cross. And so because of the cross, he says, if you will come to him, you too take up your cross. This morning, pick it up and say, I forgive you. I forgive that person because of the cross of Jesus. He has paid for us. He has paid for us. Talk to him for the Lord for a few minutes. Talk to him. At the table, they don't know the words.
It became a good Friday, the best ever Friday, the day my sins were washed away. It was a no that became
want to place your hand on your heart this morning. And you want to say, Lord, thank you. Just say it after me. Lord, thank you that you have forgiven me and forgiven so many. And so because of that, Lord, today, I let go. I forgive. Thank you for the gift of forgiveness. Thank you for Easter. In Jesus' name. Amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you came this morning because you always go to church, or you always go to church on Easter Sunday. Or maybe you come to church regularly, but you have not given your life to Jesus. The greatest snub or the greatest wound that we can give him is to make what he did useless, to make it in vain, to say, I don't need it. But you and I, we need it. If you have not given your life to Jesus, today is your day. The best gift that you can give him is yourself. He was the one who taught us that we need to be born again. He told us that in the book of John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Then he went on to say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we thank the Lord for the scriptures in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, where he said that what you believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, so that you will be saved. And this morning, if you have not done this, it's a very deliberate thing. It's not a mistake. It's not something that you just slip into. No, it's deliberate. Says you confess him. You want to give him a gift this Easter Sunday, the gift of yourself. And so as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you hear, you know that you have not done this. You are not sure. Am I born again or am I not? But today I want you to just decide to be safe and decide that you're going to pray and you're going to receive him as your Lord and Savior. You want to receive him as Lord and Savior? Just slip up your right hand. Wherever you are standing, just lift your right hand up and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. You know, because we're many here, I may not see you. I want to pray with you. So step out of where you are and just come to me. There are ushers and pastors all over the room. They'll help you. If you lifted that hand, if you're saying, I want to pray, I want to receive him, then come. God bless you. God bless you. I saw several hands all over the room. Just step out and come. The best Easter gift, the best thank you could ever give him is to give him your life. Step out and come. Step out and come. Step out. Join us in front and let us pray. Your heart is beating very fast. It's a sign that you need to pray this prayer. Come, let us pray together. I'm expecting 2, 3, 4 more people. Come. God bless you. Just come. Just come. It's not too far. Step out and come. God bless you. God bless you. Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
The best ever Friday, the day my sins were washed away.
Oh yes, today you want to accept the washing of your sins away. Just come.
That became a horrible Friday.
Just come. Step out and come.
The day of suffering and shame, but through the power of God, it became the best ever Friday, the day my sins were washed away.
Ladies, pray this prayer after me. You want to close your eyes, you want to bow down your head. And if you're in the congregation, you can help us. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you. I thank you for saving me. Thank you for Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
With all of me, I want to praise you.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIEDIASI. God richly bless you.